Welcome to On DOD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, your host, Jared Serbu.
Thanks for listening this week. Our program this time focuses on cloud computing. A good bit of activity happening on that front within the Defense Department at the moment, particularly within the Navy. As we go to air, the Navy has just christened the 1.0 version of its first ever cloud store, which it plans to eventually use to quickly deploy commercial cloud services from various vendors to the Navy commands that want to migrate to commercial environments. Also, the Navy recently became the first military service to deploy a commercial cloud access point and earn DoD certification to use it to move the most sensitive levels of unclassified data. We have two guests this week to update us on commercial cloud computing within the Navy and talk about what's next. Susan Schurin is the cloud computing lead in the Department of the Navy CIO's office. We spoke at the Pentagon. Earl Marion joined us by phone from San Diego. He is the commercial cloud hosting lead in the Navy's Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems. And before we jump into the interview, one programming note. Both of our guests will also join us for a live online chat to field any questions you might have after listening to this week's show. That's on March 29th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can register for free at federalnewsradio.com. Let's get started with the conversation. I asked Susan Schurin to start us off with a very brief refresher on DoD's cloud security approval process and how the Navy's using it, since that's foundational to a lot of the topics that we'll talk about today.
So it has evolved over time for the Department of Navy and therefore the Department of Defense as well. Department of Defense has worked through a variety of security models and arrived at the Security Requirements Guide, which is a comprehensive document that talks to both industry and to the consumers of cloud in the Department of Defense. The Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, known to many as FedRAMP, is the baseline that DoD has adopted for security requirements. So any cloud service provider should be following the FedRAMP process to be able to offer cloud services in DoD. So we consider that the baseline for any company that wants to provide cloud services. From there, and here's where we get into the data levels, data impact levels. In DoD, it depends on the security impact of the data. So level two is the lowest or the least risky data, publicly releasable, and therefore a FedRAMP authorization is enough for a level two. If it becomes more sensitive data, which we consider level four and above, then for more sensitive data, DoD requires a provisional authorization that DISA conducts. So that is a above and beyond the FedRAMP authorization. For any application that wants to leverage infrastructure as a service, they also are required to have their own ATO, just like they do in normal DoD environment. So there are really those three levels, the FedRAMP, the DoD provisional authorization, and an ATO for an application that wants to be in a cloud environment.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you have the numbers in your head or in front of you, but roughly how many approvals for individual cloud products have actually made it for individual security levels? I imagine the bulk of them numerically are at level two, right?
Yes, the bulk of them are at level two. I would estimate about 30 offerings now in level two that have been authorized. And for level four, there are only a couple right now that have been through the process. There are several in the process going for level four, handful of those that are being processed right now.
Right. But your cloud access point itself has gotten approval at levels both four and five, so it's ready for those applications as they become available, right?
Right.
Which
right.
takes us into the whole CAP idea. Tell us what the cloud access point is, how you've been using it, and how you hope to use it in the future.
So I'll start it off, and you know Earl can add in any comments he wants to add on that. But the cloud access point really includes infrastructure through which the data traverses from the application to the cloud environment. included in that infrastructure is a meet-me point for the commercial provider and security architecture. So that includes, you know, firewalls and what's needed to provide the security that DoD requires, you know, and the circuits that will complete that routing.
I'll just echo what Sue said. The cloud access point is really, a series of circuits or transport that goes between facilities. The primary function is to offer a place for CSPs to connect to the DoD information network, the DODIN, as well as provide the required amount of boundary defense for the DODIN itself. And it's dedicated access, and it applies really to impact level 4 and 5 cloud service providers only. There's not a cap architecture per se for the level 2 cloud service providers. People can come and go to them from and to them via the internet directly. There's still boundary defense, but it's not through the DODIN. And so I think that's an important distinction to make as we're talking about what is CAP and when do you have to use it in terms of, you know, Navy applications needing to come and go from a cloud service provider.
Right. And so the Navy was the first service to get DoD approval at that level 4 and 5 for a cloud access point. What have you been using that access point for so far? And again, how do you plan to use it in the future? Because I think you're going to move into more of a production status and as you continue to ramp things up here.
So we've been piloting applications, getting ready to migrate into that cloud environment. And those are at the level 4. We don't have any level 5 at this point, but they are at the level 4 sensitivity of the data. So those applications are preparing to migrate. They are working on the configuration of their environments. And so that's what we're doing right now with that CAP infrastructure. Earl, anything you want to add to that?
No. I mean, the CAP architecture is in place, and it's essentially the connection that allows people to come and go from the CSP as well as the data traversing. I'm not sure that's a word, but the data is coming and going from and to the cloud service provider via the CAP architecture. And right now it's in place, and we're in the final stages of being able to go live with applications, and then it'll essentially just be, you know, like I said, that method where the data comes and goes.
And I don't know if you can talk about what those level 4 applications are in this setting, but is there anything you can tell us to give folks a sense of what makes sense in commercial cloud at that higher security level?
The way that we here in the Navy are looking at using the commercial space is primarily from a cloud first point of view. So we don't look at the application in terms of does this application make sense to go into cloud. We're evaluating those applications in terms of it's cloud first, and then if there's a reason that it shouldn't go into the cloud, then we, you know, essentially make a determination that it should go or be hosted in some other place besides the commercial space. And so, just a couple of things that matter. As Sue noted before, the data sensitivity level is clearly one of the primary categories of reasons why it should or shouldn't go into the commercial space. If it's too high a sensitivity level, it can't go there by regulation or by security requirements. Other things that we have to consider are the amount of data that is coming and going to and from the commercial space, and that's important because, you know, the cloud model is a pay-for-what-you-use kind of model, and so if we're really being, you know, good stewards of taxpayer dollars, and we want to make sure that we're putting applications in a place where it is the most cost-efficient place for them to live. And if an application has too much data that's coming and going, then that increases cost of it living in the commercial space. So that would be another consideration that we would think about as we're doing technical reviews on the applications that we're deciding to move into the commercial space.
Right. And so even though Navy is first out in building a cloud access point and starting to move some applications there, I think the rest of the department is headed in the same direction, particularly as everybody moves toward the joint information environment and joint regional security stacks. Once all of that joint infrastructure comes online, you know, what are you doing at this point to make sure you're not building something that has to then be rebuilt once we're building to joint standards a couple years from now?
So I'll take a stab at that. I think that we're working with DOD. We're contributing to those joint DOD discussions. I see this as a joint effort with all of the services and DOD. I see lots of collaboration going on in this space. And so I think that it's, you know, there's active working groups at the DOD level. We talk often about all of the efforts that are ongoing. So I do think we're doing a good job, you know, collaborating on the efforts and making sure that that, you know, we don't duplicate wherever possible.
That's Susan Shuren, the cloud computing lead in the Department of the Navy CIO's office. The voice on the phone is Earl Marion. He's the commercial cloud hosting lead in the Navy's Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems in the Navy Data Center and Application Optimization Office. We'll come back and talk more about the Navy's brand new cloud store after a short break. This is On DoD on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Servian. Back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM, this is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu, talking this week about fairly rapid movements toward commercial cloud computing within the Navy, with two guests, Susan Shuren, the cloud computing lead in the Department of the Navy CIO's office, and Earl Marion, the commercial cloud hosting lead in the Navy's Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems. Before the break, we talked about the commercial cloud access point the Navy will soon start using to peer with cloud providers who are hosting data at levels 4 and 5, the highest impact levels for unclassified data. Let me get to one of the other significant achievements the Navy's had so far, which I think is the cloud store. My last understanding, Earl, was that version 1.0 of that was going to come online in March. We are now in March, so where are we? Can you give us an update first on what the cloud store is and where we are in terms of deployment?
So, you know, fundamentally, cloud store 1.0 is the first service offering that the Navy is advertising for Navy customers to be able to use. So the store is open. You know, we're pleased to announce that Cloud Store 1.0 is open. It's essentially just the agreements between the organizations that are involved in doing the work of migrating applications into the environment and enabling the service offering, and then having the right kinds of processes in place to deliberately manage the movement of applications from their old home into their new home in the cloud space. So, you know, the store primarily exists or is constituted of, you know, the commercial service offering itself and the, you know, the staffing and processes that are in place to be able to offer that service to our customers. It's managing the business aspects of servicing the request, you know, any kind of change management that's required in with customers, and it's also, you know, the thin layer of government, you know, inherently government functions that are required in order to ensure that the security requirements are all being met for both the environment and the applications as well. And so our intent right now is that there is always going to be some kind of thin government, inherently government layer that will have to be on top of the service offering to make sure that nothing is getting missed, but also to make sure that the billing is being done properly and the administrative requirements are also being met. So really it's a kind of an administrative function that's in the middle right now.
Yeah, sure. So to what degree does that sort of simplify the contracting process for cloud? And once the store is open, how does an individual Navy customer go and purchase cloud services? I mean, can you provision it the same day, or do you have to, you know, execute that on a task order level? How does that all work?
So essentially, all of those cloud services are brokered through the Navy's data center consolidation office. So we're essentially the front door for that. And then as we, you know, do technical review on what it is that you're asking for or what it is that you want to try to move into the commercial space, we work hand in hand. You know, we partner with those customers to determine exactly what the costs will be, what the timeline will be for delivering the service they request, and then we also broker the payment kinds of things that are associated with that. We've got one contract in place right now that we're using, and so, you know, the details of how do you get money from the customer organization onto contract are things that we're in the middle of working with the customers to help them understand how we do execute the details of that.
Do you have the details worked out already, and it's just a matter of communicating that to the customers, or is that still a work in process in terms of developing?
No, we've got the big rocks in place, and mm-hmm. so being able to do that deliberately is what we're able to do right now with Cloud Store 1.0.
You mentioned that there's only one service provider, which I think is Amazon Web Services in the first version of the store. What's the objective for forthcoming versions? Do you know roughly how many vendors you want to have capability to purchase on that through that store vehicle in the future?
So we're taking this kind of in an incremental approach. We've got the first one online, and that's primarily based on the fact that it's the first one that has been accredited for Navy use, that we have a contract vehicle to be able to use it. We are in the process right now of developing and sending out for requests for proposals a follow-on hosting contract, which is aimed at providing additional cloud service providers to offer service with multiple impact level service offerings. So, we're hoping to have more than one for impact level 2 and more than one for impact level 4 and 5 as those come on. And largely that's going to be demand driven for us as well. So, I can't really say too much more because, it's right in the middle of the contracting process. So,
sure.
No, that makes sense. Siri, do you want to add?
I would just add that authorization of the providers themselves is an important piece to that equation. Again, working with DoD, those providers are required to be authorized through FedRAMP at a minimum and DoD PA at level 4 and above.
Right. Earl, can you also give us some sense of how much stuff has migrated to commercial cloud within the Navy so far, either through that AWS contract or through other vehicles?
So what we've currently kind of got under our umbrella right now is in the level 2 environment, there are 4 applications that are living in there. Those are primarily website type portals that folks use. The Secretary of the Navy's portal is there, SecNav portal. The Navy's command website portal, which is called Open, is sitting in there. And in the last 9 months, we have successfully migrated over 1,000 Navy command websites from DoD hosting infrastructure to 100% commercial hosting infrastructure. So we think that's a pretty big accomplishment. So if you go to any of the Navy's public-facing websites out there, odds are that right now is being delivered to you, 100% from Amazon Web Services. And we've noticed some meaningful impacts from that. Availability of those sites has dramatically increased. We've got some kind of rough order of magnitude cost savings associated with the cost of hosting those in that space. So, as Sue said earlier, we've been taking a pilot approach to this, and that was one of our major muscle movements that we did in our piloting effort, was getting all of those public-facing, low-risk kinds of websites out into the commercial space.
Right. It sounds like Amazon's doing a good job if availability has increased. But since they've been in on the ground floor, they've got a major advantage over any potential competitors. So once you move to the 2.0 version of the website and you've got multiple vendors on contract, is there a plan to, I don't know if recompete is the right word, but introduce competition in some way to the websites that you've already migrated, the other applications you've already migrated?
Yeah, I think it will be important to look at that from a couple points of view. One is, really what is the best and the right place for those different applications or websites to actually sit in. Public-facing websites, they're low risk. Sitting in some kind of commercial space is probably the right answer. But then, you know, doing a technical review of the individual technical details of the applications is important. And so, you know, it may be that, you know, putting it in some other CSP other than AWS is a better technical fit for it than where it's at right now, for example. I mean, I don't have anything specific to say that's a true case, but I would think that, you know, as we get these additional kinds of service offerings in place, the truth of the matter is that no CSP's service offering is the same as any other's, and so it's important to understand the technical details of their service offering so that we can, you know, deliberately and intelligently match what are the customers' or mission owners' application needs with what is the best cloud service provider service offering to meet those needs. And so that's really the approach I think that we'll take as we're able to bring more online and look at the technical capabilities they offer.
And is the long-term objective to make the cloud store the single and only place you go to for cloud services within the Navy, or is it just one of many potential ways to purchase cloud services if you're a Navy command or a Navy customer?
From my perspective, I think we need to look at how, you know, if this is the store, we'll use the franchise model as a term, you know, how we would set the standard with this, and there may be ways to look at how to franchise that where we still have the same, you know, basic standards in the offerings, in the management of those. But we also want to be able to, as Earl was saying earlier, respond to the demand of, you know, what the Navy consumers need. As this grows, I think that we'll have to look at that kind of option.
That's Susan Shuren, the cloud computing lead in the Department of the Navy CIO's office. We're also talking with Earl Marion. He's the commercial cloud hosting lead in the Navy Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems and the Navy Data Center and Application Optimization Office. Also runs the Navy Managed Service Organization for Cloud that you just heard about. We'll talk more after another quick break on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbin. Thanks for listening to federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu, talking about commercial cloud computing in the Navy this week with Susan Shuren, the cloud computing lead in the Department of the Navy CIO's office, and Earl Marion, the commercial cloud hosting lead in the Navy's Data Center and Application Optimization Office. One more reminder that for any cloud topics we don't cover in the course of this hour, both of our guests have agreed to join us to field your questions in a live online chat on March 29th at 1 o'clock Eastern. You can register for that now at federalnewsradio.com. Look for the banner at the top of the homepage.
Earl mentioned a couple times that there really is a cloud-first mentality, at least for certain types of systems now throughout the Navy. What kind of policies are there out in place right now to tell Navy end users or system owners really that cloud is what they must use rather than just looking at it as one option?
So we based our memorandum off of the DoD memorandum that came down in December of 2014, and it was really guidance on how we use cloud. The cloud first certainly came from the federal message in 2011. The DoD has adopted that. I also think that the DoD is finding cases where that just isn't possible. I also think there are different deployment models that we're looking at in the DoD. So whether it's commercial space versus private instantiation on a DoD property or facility. So there's lots of different options that we're looking at that cloud can be a part of. I think the cloud computing technology is certainly the way forward because of the way it processes data, right? That's mm-hmm. that's the efficiency part of that. I think we are looking, though, at how the different deployment models and service models can be leveraged.
For the public portals, if a Navy organization has a requirement for a public website, then the current policy is that they're supposed to come to to our office to request that service for themselves. So in that specific situation, there is clear guidance that they have to come to the data center consolidation office to get that service.
Got it. Okay. All right. And Earl, obviously your office is data center and application optimization. Talk a bit about how migration to commercial cloud fits within data center consolidation effort that's been going on for a few years now, and whether those are really two separate things. Do they fit together?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the initial cloud service efforts and pilots that the Navy started on were really focused on enabling the commercial space so that we could provide additional data center consolidation options for applications, you know, as part of the larger data center consolidation effort. One of the things that we recognized early was that the commercial space is likely one of the most cost-effective methods of delivering application hosting. And so the efforts that were initiated from that were figuring out how to use cloud service providers, what are the security requirements that need to be in place in order to use those. And it was essentially born from the data center consolidation effort. I don't think that it will remain there, you know, as a Navy resource to use cloud hosting. I think that, certainly offers a lot more to customers than just a place to park your application. There's plenty of conversations going on out there across the DoD and the Navy about, you know, how do we effectively use the commercial service provider space to do development operations, to really be able to leverage cloud technology more effectively and be able to kind of transition or make Navy applications more modern. You know, if we're developing them in the commercial or the cloud space to begin with, then they're certainly more cloud ready. It makes sense. And so trying to go from legacy applications into a cloud-based kind of application environment is a lot of where I think the future of this will go.
Hmm. So this is probably a good point to step back and talk about the governance process broadly through which the Navy decides, you know, which applications are good candidates for cloud and whether it's time to move them and what needs to happen to make that successful. So Sue, do you want to talk us through a little bit of that? I think there's really three distinct elements to it.
So as far as governance, the application owner now is being directed to the SPAOR Data Center Consolidation Office, where they will ask about their application as appropriate for cloud space. There's really two different audiences. There's the audience that is already being consolidated. So those customers are being looked at already for cloud, and is cloud a good space to put those applications? Then there are people that just think they have a good application for cloud. Maybe it's a relatively modern application, but they think they have a good application for cloud. So they will also contact DCAO, the Data Center Consolidation Office, and they will have an interview. They will talk to people on Earl's team and determine if this is a good fit. They will, if that goes forward, they'll have an engineering assessment, and they will also obviously need to put in for procurement of funds to move forward. So those are kind of the basic steps of that. BCA is another important, business case analysis is another important piece of that. Again, that's a requirement coming to us from the DoD CIO office. So is this a good financial decision as well? So those are the steps involved in the process.
And in that business case analysis, what are the sort of things that you have to look at to decide whether cloud is the ultimate end destination for your system?
Yeah. So normally I think people look at an existing environment or a Navy or a DoD-hosted environment, what I call traditional hosting. Mm-hmm. We've been asked to look at the DISA offering, the DoD offering, which is currently MilCloud. look at that as an alternative, and then look at the cloud space as an alternative. You may have more than one cloud environment that people are looking at. But right now, those are the three minimum that usually people come in with on their BCA. So they're looking for technical complexity, as Earl said. If it's a very technical, complex system with lots of interfaces, you know, that might not be the best choice at this point. So they're looking at technical complexity. They're looking at the financial aspects of operating that system either on in a DoD hosted or a commercial hosted facility, and any other outliers that come out in that process of doing that analysis.
And Earl, when a customer comes to you, I imagine they're in various different starting places, right? I mean, I'm sure some of them know exactly, hey, I want infrastructure as a service with this particular amount of uptime, this much storage, this much compute. And then you've probably also got people who just say, I feel like I should move to the cloud, but don't know how. So how much capacity do you have in your organization to do some handholding for that latter group?
The current capacity is really sized around our data center consolidation effort. And so primarily that's kind of the workload that we've been managing. We recognize that we're going to probably get a lot more requests coming in as we've opened the store. And so, again, I mentioned it's demand driven. And so, you know, our intent is to right size our organization as we see demand come in, and then so that we can be able to satisfy the requests as quickly as possible. You know, in terms of the maturity of the requests, and that may not be the right word, but you know, you're absolutely right. We're getting, you know, really all kinds of folks calling in and saying, you know, I've got this already in production application and I want to just lift it and move it over into the commercial space. Is that possible? To the point where we've got people coming in and saying, you know, I really would like to collaborate better. What do you got in the cloud that'll help me? And so, you know, being able to parse through kind of that spectrum of requests is an interesting process, and we have to have a lot of conversations with those customers to kind of get them, A, to understand what is the current service offering and does it really meet their needs right now. And when we have those conversations, we don't have them purely in the context of cloud hosting. We have it in the context of here's what the Navy's data center service offerings are, and you know what we're interested in is putting them in the right place or being able to deliver the right service level that they need. And so our approach is cloud first, but we have more than cloud to offer right now in terms of the Navy's data center service offering.
And as those applications come to you to migrate to the cloud, where are they coming from generally? Are they coming from Navy Enterprise data centers? Are they closet IT? Is it a little bit of both?
Most of what we're looking at right now are the folks that are off in their own space. They're, you know, the closet IT kind of applications, or they're applications that are in a development state that recognize that they need to go to a production environment. And so when they're coming to us, they're saying, okay, we think we're about ready to go and figure out what the right production environment is for us, and can you help us do that?
Let me just follow up on something else you said, which is some people coming to you and saying, I would just like to, you know, drag and drop from my current environment into the cloud. I'm sure you're always going to have some of that, but have you also had customers where you were able to make some major optimizations to what they were already doing and actually reduce some costs, which I think is one of the whole points of data center consolidation in the first place?
I would say that of the four that are currently living in our level two environment, there's been quite a bit of that. You know, the Navy public portal was essentially a modernization effort from what our formerly DoD-hosted application was for delivering public websites. And so we've been able to modernize as we've gone along as part of the process. You know, part of our, you know, data center consolidation process itself is looking at, you know, modernization requirements in order to go into whatever the right environment is for your application. And so it is fundamentally part of what we look at as we're looking at those customer requests.
That's Earl Marion, the commercial cloud hosting lead in the Navy's Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems. We're also talking with Susan Schurin, the cloud computing lead in the Department of the Navy CIO's office. They'll both join us for another few minutes after one last break. This is On DoD on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbin. Back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DoD. I'm Jared Serbu. A few minutes left this hour with Earl Marion, the commercial cloud hosting lead in the Navy Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems, and Susan Schurin, the cloud computing lead in the Department of the Navy CIO's office, as we talk about recent developments around commercial cloud in the Navy, including the Navy's brand new cloud store and commercial cloud access point for sensitive unclassified data.
I mentioned infrastructure as a service a moment ago, which I think is all or almost all of what you're doing within commercial cloud right now. Talk about why that is, and is there an objective to move to more platform as a service and software as a service down the road and offer those as a managed service offering in the way that you're starting to do with IaaS?
I would say, and just thinking back historically, I think the infrastructure as a service was really the first the initial offering seemed to be in that area. Platform was coming close behind, but I think infrastructure as a service was the first offerings that we looked at, and so we engaged with those early on from a DoD perspective. And again, it was kind of a two-sided story with we're looking for cloud activity to be able to pilot, and the infrastructure as a service came as one that was ready to be piloted. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just a meeting coming into the two sides coming to the middle there as an opportunity to pilot. I think others are certainly coming on board now, and I know that if you look at the catalog listing, for example, for level 2, there's a variety of offerings and service models. Infrastructure is probably still dominant, I would say, but platform and software as a service are both coming on board now as well.
Deployment models, public, private, hybrid, community, what's happened so far? What are you looking at in terms of deployment models?
So we're looking at them all. What we're working with currently is the community, I'll call it community deployment model, because it is a community cloud for government. We're also looking at, for specific mission environments, we may need to scope that down to a DoD-type community. So we're looking at community models. We're looking at private models, which would be on-site. It may be a provider, you know, cloud in a box kind of offerings where they would bring those on site. So we're looking at all the different models and how they would fit various missions and requirements throughout the DoD.
And I assume that private model would mostly be for level 5 and even maybe level 6 data?
Yeah, I think it's too early to really talk too much about level 6, but yes, I would certainly see that.
Do you see commercial cloud being used potentially at some point for that level 6 secret data? I know you're not there yet, but
yeah, certainly it's being discussed and being looked at. I think you know, the requirements are going to have to be worked through.
Let me follow up on an earlier question on contracting. I mean, it sounds like the cloud store is going to simplify that to a significant degree. But anything else y'all are doing to make it easier for customers to actually get these services on contract, inside or outside the cloud store?
When you say on contract, there is a lot of discussion about how to appropriately contract for cloud services in DoD as a whole. I think that it was a stumbling block for DoD in the beginning, trying to determine the right clauses. There's still a DFARS clause that's in process. So trying to determine, you know, the right language, the right SLAs, all those things that need to be included in the contracting is certainly a large piece of work that many are working on in DoD and looking to, you know, if we can join forces on that as well and provide contracts that many can use, that would be helpful as well. So contracting is certainly an important piece of this.
Let me start to wrap us up sort of back where we started, which is security. When all is said and done, this is probably going to change how Navy networks look in a pretty significant way by the time you've met your objective of getting 75% of your systems in the cloud. So, I mean, what are you doing now to bring the 10th Fleet folks and the Computer Network Defense Service providers in on the front end of the process so they understand how to defend that future state at least as well as they're defending what you've got today?
That's a great question. We are looking at that intensely now. The Navy has our C&D provider that we have leveraged for cloud services that we're offering so far. As we look into the future of how this is going to expand and how we will need to include them in the entire resourcing plan, I think that's an important piece of work that is yet to be done, and we are engaging with not only Navy but DoD as a whole is looking at that as DISA is coming up with has developed a CONOPS that looks at how do we do cyber defense, you know, in the cloud environment. So that is also something that the services and DISA are collaborating in the DoD environment for.
Thank you both so much for talking with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Susan Schurin, the cloud computing lead in the Department of the Navy CIO's office, and Earl Marion, the commercial cloud hosting lead in the Navy Program Executive Office for Enterprise Information Systems. And once again, if you have more questions about commercial cloud in the Navy that we didn't cover, you can ask them yourself. Both of our guests will join us again on March 29th at 1 p.m. Eastern for a free online chat. You can either email those questions to me right now, it's jserbu, J-S-E-R-B-U, at federalnewsradio.com, or ask them in real time by registering for the live chat. Just click the banner at the top of our homepage. That's going to do it for this week's edition of On DoD. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. If you missed any of our conversation, we will post the whole program, as always, at federalnewsradio.com/OnDoD. I'm Jared Serbu. So long.
You've been listening to On DoD with Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. On DoD, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.